Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Rob Has a Podcast. I'm your host, Taryn Armstrong, filling in tonight for Rob, as he was too distraught with the events of tonight's episodes to appear on the podcast. So I am his emotional support host, and I will be filling in. With me tonight is Aman. How you doing, Aman?
You know, actually, the cat's out of the bag now. Rob has bowed out. I am now the owner of Rob Has a Podcast. It's now Aman Has a Podcast. Let's get the thing trending. A-H-A-P, back in business, baby. We're A-ha. Here. While the dad is away, the children will play. Let's party. Woo!
You'll never see Aman turn down the opportunity. He's got his $200 and he's ready to spend them.
Woo!
Yeah.
Also with us here tonight is Sasha. How you doing, Sasha?
You know, I'm hanging in there. I'm trying not to be angry. I'm trying to be positive. But here we are, people. Bear with me as we get through this recap, y'all.
Yes, we are here to recap tonight's episode on August 22nd, a Sunday night episode of Big Brother 23. We are going to see some nominations. We're going to see some roulettes. Or roulets, as Azza might say. We're going to see some nominations being replaced by random choice. We're going to have some fun with it, even if the episode is, was this a good episode? I mean, I always come in it from, you know, I come at it from the perspective of somebody who watches the feeds, who understands, you know, like what could be on the episode and what is on the episode. And I compare them and I see how they're presented. And I feel like I don't always see it from the perspective of the sort of more casual fans. But this one felt a little boring to me, Sasha.
I don't know, again, if it's my own theory, but like I always, we know that it's like not 100% what's happening on the feeds. I feel like Sarah Beth got a little bit more will in edit. And where was the cuddle whisper going on? Maybe they couldn't even catch it. Because to me, like, not to start like Taryn on a like downward spiral again, but I feel like we just missed a lot of chunks, but it's still like a fun episode, maybe because I just like the cast and I like watching them. But outside of that, it was stupid. It was, yeah. I'm just mad, y'all.
Yeah, I will say I was kind of all over the place this weekend as far as feeds were concerned, so I didn't really get to watch a lot of them as I usually do. So I actually saw a lot of the stuff that appeared on this episode for the first time in the episode. So my experience tonight was a little better only because I guess I didn't really necessarily know what I should have been looking for. I did still think that the whole Tiffany DF thing was kind of weird, but we'll get to it.
Yeah. I think for me, the biggest thing, the biggest highlight of this episode for me, at least, was the lack of sort of explanation for the nominations, primarily the amount they kind of showed that Kyland was attempting to influence these nominations. They did not show that Kyland made these nominations. That's where I feel like they missed the their shot just a little bit here.
Yeah, we needed this SpongeBob like 5 hours later. Like,
exactly.
It's almost like I don't think people understood how much work this man put in to get her to do literally what he wanted. Like, it was Inception. And you know, because she started with like, oh, maybe whatever. Here's who I want to nominate. By the end of those, what, 5 hours? I don't know. However long he was up there, it was literally, it was like, it was a wrap. Done. Yeah. She was like, yeah, whatever Kylan wants.
Yeah. And I just feel like that's a big missed opportunity. I mean, for as much as, you know, it wasn't what a lot of people were looking for from these nominations, I feel like it's a huge moment for the season that this is happening. Like this is a turning point in the game that, you know, Kylan really managed to turn her completely around, and spin her in a different direction. And you have to give Kylan more credit for that, I think. And you have to let the audience feel that he did that, right? Because that's one of it threw me back to Dr. Will in the HOH room with Janelle. It threw me back to, you know, Paul when he's doing all his stuff. Like, it's one of those moments, and I feel like they kind of didn't really do it justice, but what are you gonna do? So the edit this season has not always lived up to the standard that I would hope that it would.
That's what you got us.
Yeah. I agree. I feel like, especially in a week that is so crucial for the cookout, I mean, you really should be showing just how well each player is actually doing, because this week could have been really bad. Sarah Beth could have put up two cookout members, but she doesn't. And Kylan is the big reason as to why that doesn't happen. And so, yeah, I think it's easy for a lot of casual fans to automatically want to root against the cookout because reasons. But if you give them more of, if you give them more context as to just how well they're actually working their plan, I feel like it's like a little harder for you to hate, you know, but they didn't do it.
Well, the other highlight from this episode, of course, is that Xavier is now on the block next to Claire, by Alyssa's own hand. She did this. How could you do this, Alyssa? You clearly wanted him on the block. I couldn't believe she was like, it's my fault. Like, what do you mean it's your fault? I mean, this was gonna happen.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that was a lot of emotion for a game of chance. Like, I mean, you literally were dangling all of their games by a ball. And so I don't know what you thought was going to happen. Like, do you think Xavier was just going to magically, you know, keep avoiding it? Like, there's only so many players left, girl. I mean, I get that she feels bad because Xavier is like one of her only last remaining allies. But girl, hey, that's the price we pay.
Yeah.
She put herself in timeout. I felt like she literally turned around and was like, no, like, she did not give. She was like, no, absolutely. I will not be here. Goodbye.
Yeah, this was like if she was at a casino and there was like a real high roller that was like, here's 50K. I want you to pick a number on the roulette table. And she was like, 10. And then it didn't land on 10. She's like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. I screwed it up for you. Oh my God. And I was like, I'm a billionaire. I don't even, what do you mean? Oh, but I guess, yeah, I'll let you feel bad for me, even though I don't care. But
them roulette tables will get your ass though. Like, I mean, I'm not particularly one to gamble, but I did partake at a friend's birthday party in Atlantic City. And, you know, I walked in there with $20 thinking, you know, if I lose $20, I lose $20. Bitch, I was betting black every single time, went up to $80 and then lost it all in one go. I was like, all right, time to go. So, you know, sometimes people just get that gambling spirit just captures people's energy sometimes.
Yeah, I've played roulette once because we were going to run it up Reno a few times. And it was at the end of my first trip, I was up because of poker and I just had $70 left in cash. But I had more, but I just had 70 in cash. I was like, you know what? I was about to like take the shuttle to the airport. I was like, I'm just going to roulette it. Spun it once, lost the $70 and was like, damn it. I felt so good before this. I'm still up from the whole trip, but now I feel like I've lost.
Yeah, so even don't send me money on Big Brother.
Yeah, it does not matter.
It's getting spent.
Xavier on the block, but has no real reason for concern at this time because he is still up against Claire, who is a non-cookout member. And that means that the cookout should have the votes to keep him in the game. But he tells us he's going to be gunning for that veto. So what do we think? Xavier on the block, was this good? I love that they brought out an actual roulette table. We were talking about, I was talking about this with Rob. I think it was on the Q&A for the patrons. And you were talking about, will it be like a screen or will it be an actual physical thing? And I thought for sure it would be a screen. I was like, there's no way they're going to like manually create a whole thing. And then what, when Alyssa wins, now you have to like peel off her face and stick other faces on. Like, yeah, apparently.
I just like could feel the energy of at least, I don't know, maybe 40% of the Big Brother community as that roulette table came out. Cause I just know that somebody out there was thinking to themselves, we asked for a key wheel and y'all bring out an entire roulette table.
Oh my God. That's, I put that in my notes.
That's all we wanted was the damn key wheel. And you gave us this shiny ass, lacquered ass roulette table. Are you serious? I mean, and I don't really tend to agree because we, you know, whatever. I don't really care about the key wheel, to be honest. But I just know. I just felt it. I felt it in the air. I felt it in my BB bones.
I love this. Let's keep the roulette wheel. Let's, every HOH competition should just be a roulette wheel.
Honestly, hey.
Or it might be better odds for a lot of people.
Exactly. It would change the game. And a lot of people are looking for a changed game at this point. So.
Oh, yeah. We saw on Twitter.
that really should have been. I think that actually really is a good idea, though, Tara. Because, I mean, this is supposed to be like a casino theme, you know? Like, why not have, like, put a button in the room, in the secret room somewhere, and tempt people to play. It's like, if you press this button, something different can happen next week. And of course, everyone's going to press the button because they're Big Brother fans. And then the next thing you know, there is no HOH competition. It's all decided by random draw. Like, yeah, that would be...
The crapshoot ones are, though, right? So to me, instead of having to roll a damn ball into a shark's mouth, I don't know, whatever else they're doing... Why not just literally leave it up to chance? Like, I feel like it'll be way more fun. Imagine like a camera on top. It's live. Even Julie doesn't know what's going to happen. I'd love it. If you're doing crapshoot, do it like this, where it's literally up to chance.
Imagine a world where you can't just be like, oh, Big D, he's final three, because you actually have to consider him as somebody that will win in HOH, not just, oh, a one will happen to be in his skill set and he'll probably win one competition throughout the season. So that for that one competition, we have to maybe look out for it. But no, legitimately has just as much a chance as anyone else. And I think it would help really make sure that every player is as involved as possible. But that's a whole different story. So, they'll never do it. I mean, they love their big set piece competitions. And I do enjoy the HOH competitions at times as well. So, but competition reform. Let's get it happening. So, okay, let's start this episode proper here. We started the episode with a replay of Sarah Beth's HOH win. This was just as painful the second time for me as the first time. We had a poll on Thursday night for the audience where it was like, are you happy with this HOH results? And it was like 50 or 60%. No, not happy. I think if we ran that poll again, I think we'd get a different answer.
Yeah. I think Sarah Beth would also probably change her answer when she's out the door next week too. So, yeah. You know, I keep seeing this thing that everybody keeps saying that Derek X lost by 1 second. Was the timer, did it stop after it was like no longer possible for him to win, or did it stop after he hit the button?
Because I believe
it stopped after he hit the button, then he lost literally by a millisecond, which is even more aggravating than in full second. Mm-hmm. But if not, then I just was kind of confused about that.
I'm pretty sure the timer stops right after the time that to beat. So I think it was, I don't know that we know exactly what time he would have gotten otherwise, but it was definitely very, very close.
Well, if he didn't go the hard way, oh my God, he would have won. I know.
So I'm not going to talk about so it. So many things we can say about Derek, if you had just done anything right.
I was shocked by a lot of their performances on that thing. Like I honestly believed that many of them would just have been a little bit more mentally savvy. Like, yes, big risk, big reward. We get the theme of the season, but are you really thinking that you're going to be able to go across that skinny ass thing? Like, I just, it's clearly there to deceive and tempt you. And so many of them fell for it. It was kind of annoying to watch.
Apparently we are going to run that poll again. So if you go to RHAP Grams on Instagram, you can answer the poll. Are you happy with this HOH outcome? We'll see what the difference is here between Thursday and tonight. So we hear from Kyland that he's got to protect the cookout as he is the person closest to Sarah Beth. He needs to make sure that she is not aiming at the cookout. So he lets her know that he feels like Derek or Claire should be where she takes that shot. And she feels good about Claire and Tiffany. She doesn't want to take a shot at Claire. She doesn't feel good with Xavier and Alyssa. And Kyland's like, uh-oh, I don't like that. Kyland says, Xavier is one of my closest allies, and I need to make sure that that she does not come for him. And let me tell you, this is exactly what was happening here. She was really lining up her shot at Alyssa. Alyssa tried to throw Tiffany under the bus in her one-on-one with Sarah Beth. She said, Tiffany was so pissed when you won that competition, when Derek lost to you. And Sarah Beth did not believe her. She told Claire about it. She was throwing Alyssa under the bus. She was setting Alyssa up as the target for the week, going up next to Xavier or potentially, you know, Xavier being the backdoor target. And she told Claire and Tiffany, you're both good. I want to ride with the jackpot. And it wasn't until that later conversation with Kyland where things started to turn around, Amon.
Yeah, I was kind of interested by this because if you do have so much faith in Tiffany as you're saying that you do, and you're telling Tiffany this, why not tell Tiffany that Alyssa just did that? Like, I was kind of interested as to why she would have kept that close to the chest with Tiffany, but then she went ahead and sang like a canary to Claire. I mean, did you want Claire to be the one to go back and tell Tiffany this?
No. So she told Claire and she told Derek, because at the time she wasn't planning on targeting him. She told them not to tell Tiffany because she did not want Tiffany to blow it up. She was concerned that Tiffany would then go and confront Alyssa about it and that it would become a thing. So she said, please don't tell Tiffany. You know how she is.
Gotcha. Okay. Well, all right, girl. I just like, when did the jackpot like get turned back on? Like, I thought that thing was unplugged for like weeks at this point. Like, why all of a sudden is it lighting back up? Like, really, Sarah Beth? Like, you have been up under Kyland for the past 3 weeks, for pretty much a month, and you're getting letters from Shelly and stuff. That's how much it's, you know, affecting your game, and all of a sudden you're talking about the jackpot. I was just like, okay, I guess we're back on here. This is week two, I guess. All right.
Yeah. Amazing too that she says Tiffany is the person that I feel the most comfortable. They actually listen to me. Meanwhile, Tiffany is giving an amazing diary room. Sarah Beth is the least person, the last person that I wanted to win this.
And I guess props to Tiffany for all of the missed. I saw a lot of people tweeting Tiffany's missed. Because I'm like, what do you mean she listens to you? Like, you literally tried to get Hannah's ass up on the block like 3 weeks ago, and Tiffany was the main one saying, no, shut up, sit down, eat your food. Like,
but that's how good she is. Mm-hmm. You know, I could never be that fake, but good for Tiffany that she's just like, let's talk. Yeah, that's good for her. Teach us how to do it, because she's talking so much crap about SB, like, all the time. There's that video. Yeah, constantly. There's that video. Whatever. It's long and BB time, I guess. And then she's so kind to her, where Sarah Beth is like, she listens to me. That's the kind of mist I wish I had in life.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's an example of her social game, because she has tried the least with Sarah Beth as well. She barely tries. I mean, she gives her the bare minimum. She gives Sarah Beth the amount that Sarah Beth gives the game. It's still enough, because she just has a charisma to her, for sure. Mm-hmm. That's her plan. We are going to get a setup for the high roller. Alyssa says, your number one ally could go up on the block if you win. Foreshadowing. And then we get a scene that was actually from last week. And it is the Big D versus Tiffany. It was from last week, about the week before last week. Derek X's original HOH reign, where he took out Christian. And this was they really went in on this. We pretty much we get Big D's perspective on this, and you can usually tell where the edit wants you to go by who is narrating the experience. Tiffany, I don't believe gets any diary room sessions throughout this this segment. And they're gonna hash this out. Basically, the premise here is that when Big D and Azza followed Brittany up. And acted like her bodyguards and called Tiffany a coward. Tiffany didn't appreciate it. And Big D feels like he needs to apologize for this, even though he doesn't feel like he did anything wrong. And Tiffany is basically saying, don't apologize to me. You clearly don't think you've done anything wrong. This is all nonsense.
Yeah, and let me tell you, this edit definitely worked because I have a Big Brother group chat with a couple of friends from college. We all watch Big Brother and chat about it on the reg. And two of my friends were in that chat being like, oh, Tiffany did the most. Oh, my God. Like, she's horrible. Like, how could she? He came to you with an apology and you just threw it back in his face. I was like, yeah, I don't think that's how this really went down. And I kind of was like vacillating back and forth with like, do I respond in this chat? Do I give them the tea or do I just let them have it? I just let them have it because I just didn't feel like talking about it. But yeah, I don't. Why did production go back and dig through the archives to get this footage to show this week? So it's like, is DF just going into the diary room at this point and just talking such massive crap about Tiffany that they're like, yeah, let's keep this going. You're doing amazing, sweetie. Let's go get some footage to really back up this claim. And if that's the case, why? Because is production getting bamboozled into thinking that the casuals really like Derek a lot too because of all of these votes that he's getting for BB Bucks when they're probably for Derek X? I'm just, this whole thing is just really strange to me. I don't know why you'd want to throw Tiffany under the bus this way. It doesn't, it's just, it's weird. Why?
Yeah, it's obsessive, especially like this angry black woman edit. Like, it's not cute. We talked about it last season, I don't know how many times, right? With Bailey and Davon, right? It's not cute. People have to stop. She has every right to be passionate. And so was Derek F, right? They were both passionate. They were having a conversation. This man keeps getting 100. That's a poll I want RHAP to run. Like, how is this man getting 100? Are you voting for him? Because, like, let me know if you are. Because this is ridiculous. And I just think that production's like, oh, he got 100 twice in a row. That means everyone loves him. Let's show more of him. Oh, at the expense of course, Tiffany. Why? Why?
For the record, in the poll that I ran, Big D received 1.79% of the Rob is a Podcast audience vote. So, it's not us.
So we're in good company, y'all. High five to all of you.
It just doesn't make much sense, especially the way that they seemingly buried him in the edit right before the first vote and calling Tiffany all types of bitches all over and over and over and over again. It just, I don't really see why anybody would want to vote for that. And this, like, look, this isn't me condemning DF as a person. I think that we all have flaws, and I think that he has a very, very strained relationship with Tiffany. I still don't think that, you know, obviously he gets a pass for using that word so many times, but I get that it's a pressure cooker and the game is the game. I get it. But I just don't understand why people would want to reward that type of behavior. Is it because of the fact that you see Tiffany as like the main head of this cookout alliance and you're like, oh my God, he's the one that will break it up. We gotta give him power because he'll break it up. Because let me tell you something. At this point, like, look, I was probably where y'all were maybe 2 weeks ago thinking, I don't think that the cookout's gonna make it to the six. But now that we're getting so close to this, I just don't see any of them turning on each other at this point. If one of them leaves, it's because something went awry with the HOH wins. They are so close to making such grand history in Big Brother that nothing is going to change. So you can continue to vote for DF all you want. He's not going to throw Tiffany out of there. He's just not going to. I just don't see it happening at this point. They're just too close. Way too close. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's, I also like, I did, it was, I liked watching this segment just because I did know what was happening in it. And there is a catharsis to me to Tiffany's sort of like rant when she's like, You clearly don't mean it. You've defended what you did. You've denied what you did. You clearly don't mean the apology. You're going to do it again. We're not the same. We're nothing alike. I was just like, it was just like, oh, yes. Like, this is what I want people to say to people who think that they can just insincerely apologize and make things go away, yeah. Like constantly, because he was so clearly not sincere with the apology. And he even says as much in the diary room afterward. He's like, I didn't do anything wrong. I just need to shut her up, essentially. Yeah. And so like, you know,
that being said, I still do think that Tiffany doesn't handle this the best way possible. Oh, yeah. I mean, if we're keeping
what
it
I
in,
wish I could say.
Right, definitely. Yeah. And I think that there's still a way for her to say that and still be a little bit more, you know, gentler in delivery, because yeah, you have every right to be upset because they did roll up on you. Like, I love that she used the character Debo from Yes, girl. But yeah, I totally understood that, because it was weird. And I mean, I don't know if she heard him say coward, but I mean, he definitely called her that.
They showed it. That like she was in the room. Yeah.
Yeah. So I get it. But you do have a bit of a role in this as well, Tiffany, because you definitely were the one that was calling them liars and all types of stuff as well, which they were doing. And it was putting you in a bad position. I get it. But like, let's not act like this is this incendio that we have going on right now is completely one sided. So I think at the end of the day, you do want to make sure that when the cookout does get down to the six, that you were not the first one to go. Because the way it's looking, he wants to turn on you really, really badly. And it's all he's waiting for is the last non-cookout member to be out of here. So I just think that you need to find a way to gently drag him. Just gently. Gentle dragging.
But that's asking a lot of someone to, like, not be who they are. Like, especially when you're being called a coward. Like, if someone called me a coward, like, it would be on site. So, but that's why I would give it out first, probably out of Big Brother, because I don't think I would make it one day, like, without yelling at people.
Yeah, you unfortunately don't have that Tiffany mist to things
absolutely
over.
Not. I will. No, absolutely not. I would, like, probably be dragged by security because I'm screaming so much.
Well, what they didn't show here as well is that they were so loud that that people were starting to overhear, and Derek X and Claire ran up to eavesdrop, and Hannah had to interfere and kind of press the button to let people know.
Yeah,
that,
why did they show
were
this?
Outside. That was a very fun moment. I was very surprised that they didn't put that in. But there we go, Tiffany versus Big D. Big D, again, big episode for him. I've really felt like they were treating Big D like he was a character prior to this, I feel. But they were very willing to throw him under the bus when they should have, right before these votes started happening. But the second he was a fan favorite via the audience vote, the edit has done a complete 180, it feels, and has been very, very positive, toward Big D. And this was the most egregious bit for me, is that Big D is going to explain to us in the diary room that he actually has $50 because he got $100 from America and he spent $50 of it. But he's telling everyone else that he only has that he has $0, that he has no money. He spent it all. And nobody knows the truth that he actually has $50. Everybody knows. Not a single person in that house thinks that Big D has $0. I don't know why they're making it out to seem like he doesn't have, that he hasn't, like he has anybody convinced of this.
Insert the famous Jason Roy gif of everybody knows. Even if you're not talking about your BB balance, Big D, everybody else is talking about their BB balance. And so while they are comparing notes with each other, it becomes very clear as to who else got the money, especially when the results are made public about who voted who in the veto derby and all this, that, and the third. Like, it becomes very clear. Like, it's not. And one of the people just got sent out because of it. So why do you feel like you are immune to detection? It's just, it's very strange.
It's another example of how the, you know, even just because they don't even have to do anything specifically misleading to make this very misleading. All they need to do is, again, just show Big D's side of this conversation, because if they had taken Sarah Beth's side of this conversation, it would have been, I can't believe Big D is still lying about his money. But we didn't hear that. We heard Big D like, I'm tricking everyone about the money.
Because he's the golden child, like literally. So that's why they love it.
Yeah.
For nearly four decades, JMK Security Solutions has provided protection for homes and businesses. I know firsthand. I'm Jeff Beckman, and with my wife, Kim, we started JMK Security Solutions. Our attention to detail, service after the sale, and product knowledge are the foundation of our success. JMK Security has routinely been recognized as the best of Madison for security companies. We expect that trend to continue as the next generation, our son Jeffrey, takes over as president. Let us protect what is valuable to you. JKSecurity.com.
Since J&K Security Solutions opened in 1987, our attention to detail and customer service have been our strongest assets. I'm President Jeffrey Beckman. We'll always do our best to find the most efficient and cost-effective solution to every job we tackle. Whether it's security for your home or business, installing video surveillance, or being able to control your garage doors from your phone, we can help you feel empowered with simple and user-friendly technology. Let's work together to secure your home or business. JKSecurity.com.
For nearly four decades, JMK Security Solutions has provided protection for homes and businesses. I know firsthand. I'm Jeff Beckman, and with my wife, Kim, we started JMK Security Solutions. Our attention to detail, service after the sale, and product knowledge are the foundation of our success. JMK Security has routinely been recognized as the best of Madison for security companies. We expect that trend to continue as the next generation, our son Jeffrey, takes over as president. Let us protect what is valuable to you. JKSecurity.com.
We did get a segment here with Claire and Derek X. Have they clocked the cookout? Have they figured out what's happening? They named all of the people, and it definitely wasn't edited out of order to make it seem like they named all six people in sequence. And they definitely also weren't laughing about this theory, and they're definitely very serious about it.
I don't know why we can't just like call a spade here. Like, I think, because I mean, we know that production is sort of like teeter-tottering around the cookout and what the goal of the cookout is, and we know that the rest of the house guests that are outside of the alliance are kind of also teeter-tottering around it because they don't want to be seen as putting all of the black people together. But like I said 2 weeks ago, at some point you look at that memory wall and things are very evident, and I don't think that there is any shame in just being openly and be like, yeah, I think the black folks are together right now, and I think we got to do something, because I mean, I'm all for the cause, but I also would like to win. Like, I don't think that there's anything wrong in saying that. I think this season is so monumental because of the cookout, and I think that being able to talk about it freely, especially with Claire and DX, like, it's evident. It's like, it's in your face, in your butt. Like, I don't know. Like, why is Claire on the block? Like, that should be the number one.
And well, this is the thing, because a lot of people still do have this theory that like they do know, they just can't talk about it. But let's be clear, from my perspective, at least watching them on the live feeds, they do not know. They honestly don't even really have a clue. They have like half of a clue, and they're joking about half of the clue occasionally. But they're also joking about lots of other half clues.
Yeah,
exactly. We just ignore those because they're not actually the truth. The fact of the matter is, if they had any real suspicion that anything was remotely locked in, we are not going to see Derek X not play in this competition. We are not going to see Claire in the diary room after she's nominated go, it's not too bad.
Oh my God. No, and they truly believe this. That's the problem. And here's the thing, okay, maybe this is to future house guests. If, you know, you see people of color, black people, you know, indigenous people, finally, may we get them on the show talking about this stuff. It's okay for you to maybe speak to the cameras and say, I'm feeling sus about this, but I don't want to call it out, but I'm going to try to work around it. Right? Like, say something to the cameras. Don't, because you're tiptoeing around it, you're actually making it worse. And guess what? You're going to be in jury because of it. Like, tiptoeing makes it so much worse.
I mean, Taryn, I can see what you're saying, because if there was real inkling, don't you think that she would have done something by now? But, like, I really feel like Claire knows. I just feel it in my gut that she knows, and she's just like, damn, what do I do in the situation? I don't know what to do, because there really isn't anybody to really talk about it with except DX. And I feel like DX also has to know, because he was also the one being like talking with Tiffany about how there aren't any white males in jury. So what?
But that's the thing. They wouldn't talk about it with Tiffany if they were actually suspicious, right?
Exactly.
Like, they would be name dropping her allies.
Maybe, but DX also isn't that great of a player, so maybe he would. Like, I just,
well, that we know. He didn't spill the royal flush, so don't come for DX.
If I were in this house and I was on Big Brother 23 and I was part of the cookout and I saw the two of them talking together and making these connections and still not trying to, I would be laughing my ass off in this DR. Like, what is going on here? Like, how did we get here? It has just been such, every time I watch these conversations on the feeds, I am like, y'all, it is smacking you right in your face and you can't see it, which makes it even more, they have to make it to Final Six now. They have to. They just have to. I will not accept anything less than that. It's just,
and if I don't get good, and not just fake reactions, I want good reactions of people finding out about the cookout. Like, I want to pay to see Brittany find out that Azza and DF were in a whole nother alliance. I want, you know, SB. That's the one. I cannot wait for her to find out. Oh, her cuddle God. Buddy Kai was just not loyal to you, boo. Sorry about it.
Yeah. Well,
I can't wait.
Speaking of, we do get this segment, and this is the segment where, again, they really, I feel like they could have done so much more with this. Kai is going to be talking with Sarah Beth and eventually flipping her around to the idea of like, oh no, you should trust Xavier. You should trust Alyssa. Derek X is the one you shouldn't trust. Claire, he ultimately says, not in the episode, but Claire is the one you shouldn't trust. And I do feel like they could have, because they could have shown her being like, aha, this is my HOH. I'm going to do what I want. This is not going to be a Kyland HOH 2.0. I'm going after Xavier and Alyssa. Those are my, I don't trust them. And then they could have like Kyland, and Kyland's be like, I got to get to work. And then them in the bed, to 1 a.m., crossfade. They're deeper in the bed now, cuddling, whispering, 3 a.m. Well, don't you think you can't trust Claire? I don't know. Can I? 4 a.m. I definitely can't trust Claire. 5 a.m. I was thinking Claire and Big D. Kyland in the diary room. All right. My work is done. Right. Like, we could have done something there. It would have been fun.
Row, row, row your boat gently down the stream. Throw your HOH to Kyland. You fall victim to scheme. Like, I don't know. Like, it's just.
Oh, wow. Wait, we have to, like, give you your props for that one. The flowers that Sarah Beth was holding, you now get them.
I am now the king of rap of Big Brother 23. I agree. I don't know why we couldn't have like showed a little bit more, because it wasn't going to be this way. And so now it really makes it feel like Sarah Beth is just like sort of like bad all on her own. And it's not necessarily because of that. It's because she did sort of get talked down here. So yeah, I don't know. A lot of the editing choices tonight have been very strange.
Yeah, I just feel like Kyland needs the credit for this, because he worked very hard for it.
Yeah.
We then get the nominations. Big D and Claire are nominated. We didn't even get like a victory DR from Kyland being like, and let me tell you, I know for a fact he gave a victory DR. You're not going to convince me he didn't. He had a victory debrief with Azza the next day. He was so proud of what he did. He definitely talked about it in the diary room. All we got was like, he said the reason I picked these people. Basically, he claimed he took the credit, but it was a tiny little snippet. But Big D and Claire on the block. And this is Claire. She's, I'm not too worried. I'd rather be on the block. You know, there's so many ways to not be on the block. You know, I'd rather be here. What do you mean you're not worried, Claire?
There's so many ways to not be on the block.
Yeah, these, like, the amount of times the house guests were like, oh, it's okay, I'm fine. There's this. There's going to be this falling out of the sky. And then, there, you know, the pool will have another veto maybe, and I'll just swim and get it. Like, that's how they were acting. Like, it was just going to pop out everywhere. It's like, you have two options. Most of y'all are broke for the first option. And then for the second one, you actually need to win something. Like, what is in your brain? And that's why I know that production makes them say, like, at the end, I can't wait, I will win the veto. And then cuts to them, like, flopping and never winning. Like, this happens all the time. I don't mean, like, just X and Claire, but I'm just, like, so over it. Like, wake up that, what are y'all winning? Like, you can't win if you're not playing. I'm so confused.
And this is the lack of hustle that we saw in Claire that we were very disappointed by. I mean, Claire should have been on Derek all morning about, you need to play in this roulette, you need to pull me down. She wasn't. Instead, she let him talk to Hannah and Kylan and Xavier. And they all were like, nah, you don't need to play, man. Primarily so Hannah.
Maybe she doesn't know about the cookout then.
I would be guarding DX like I'm his security. I'd be like, you talk to nobody but me. Yeah. Like,
I would have been like, cowards. Yeah. None of you get close.
Like the Boston Rob strategy. Talk to nobody. Like, system. Just come here, DX. Let's talk about fashion. Let's talk about you. Let's talk about your life outside the house. You know, I'd be like, don't talk to anyone. Just look at me. Just look at me.
Yeah, just like sit him down and be like, Derek, who exactly do you think she's trying to target right now? Me and Big D on the block. What's the plan?
And you got $100 too. Like, did you think that the fans were just giving that to you just out of the blue for no reason at all? Like, how did you go from 50 to 100? Like, it'd be one thing if, like, you had received 75 last week, maybe. Then you could be like, oh, I'm just, you know, I'm well liked. But you were at 50 last week, and all of a sudden you shoot up to the top spot. That must tell you something. It has to.
I've been so much better in the diary room this week.
I thought he got 100 last week, so that's my bad.
Talking about Claire.
Oh, Claire. Oh.
Yeah.
She even says it. Thanks, America. Like, I thought you were on these BB streets, Claire.
I mean, what a terrible segment, though, for Claire to receive. Oh, this is huge. She went from a $50 contestant to a $100 contestant in the span of a week. That's massive. That's an incredible accomplishment for the audience to really be rooting for her so much. And she gets $100. That's amazing. No, I still can't afford it. Sorry.
Yeah, so are there going to be any more chances for them to win besides the voting? Because I was under the impression that they were that they said something at the beginning, like, oh, there are going to be other opportunities for you to get it.
Theoretically, you know, we're going to have to wait and see if there's anything like in the veto or anything else. You know, we'll have to see.
Because at this point, because I wrote everything down, Claire is at 100, Oz is at 50, Hannah's at 150, Xavier's at 150, SB's at 50, Tiffany's at 75, Alyssa has nothing, Kylan at 50, DX at 200, DF at 150. Only a few of them are going to be able to afford this next power. So I'm like, why would they want that to flop like that at the very end? Like, it's supposed to be like the most crucial power. Like, you're bringing back a coup d'etat, sort of, and only a couple of people are going to be able to play in it. This doesn't make much sense.
Yeah, DX wants to play in it, you know, because he's going to win everything he plays magically. Apparently, he loses nothing. Not like he face planted on the damn balance beam. Like, where is his confidence? I get he's good. Don't get me wrong. He's good. But, like, why did you not play? You have so much money, you idiot. Oh my God, that makes me so mad. And it's because I like him. We don't get Asians like this on the show. Like, my God, he breaks the stereotypes. He is like actually likable. He's cool. Like, and he's a social game and he's good at competitions. And then you don't play in a damn competition that only one other person played in. What is wrong? And that people wouldn't even know that you played. So you could have still used that as a, I still got my money.
He just wanted that coin.
Oh my God. You're going to get no coins.
He was like, maybe he's a big Mario fan. He's just like, no, I got to get the coins. Yeah.
You know how much coin you can buy with $750,000? You know how much Mario Kart you can play with that, Derek? Do you know? Or do you want me to remind you? Because I can do some math.
Mamma mia.
All right. Well, we did get this. I did appreciate this from the editors because I feel like this was a direct shot at the people who knocked Tiffany down in the vote. She says, I don't want to let Claire go. Hopefully America gives me enough money so that I can compete and save Claire this week. And then $50.
Yeah, that was a tough sale, Tiffany. That was a really tough sale. But I applaud you for trying.
Like, maybe you shouldn't have given it to Alyssa, who ends up screwing them over. Yeah. Here it is. Alyssa gets $75 because... Directly because Tiffany moves down, Alyssa moves up. Or we could say that because Alyssa moved up, Tiffany moved down. But I think it's more likely that Tiffany moved down. That means that Alyssa is going to be able to play. She wants to play to secure her safety. I have to give Alyssa probably the most amount of props out of anyone not in the cookout. Because even though she makes a terrible decision here by saving Big D, ultimately, she absolutely should have saved Claire given her actual position in the game. At least... For Alyssa, the one thing I can say for her is that she's actually making decisions that make sense according to her own bad, warped perception of the house, as opposed to Derek, Claire, and Sarah Beth, who are all making bad decisions, even when you account for the fact that they don't know about the cookout. At least Alyssa... Her decisions are making sense. And I appreciate that she was like, I want to play in this. I don't trust Sarah Beth. She shouldn't. I want to win this. And she wants me to play? Perfect. I can make it seem like I'm doing it for her and be safe this week. That's what Derek X should be doing this week. But no. And it does make sense from her perspective to take down Big D so that Xavier, if he does go up, does not end up on the block against Big D, because that would not be good for her game if Xavier was actually loyal to her.
And she asked Derek X in what we saw on here to play. And he was like, you want me to spend my money? And then cut to Kylan saying, that's not what the HOH wants.
If you won and you were safe this week.
No, you will win. Yeah, like he was you will win.
If you play, you'll win and you'll be safe this week. And that's not what the HOH wants you to do.
But Sarah.
Did you just hear what he said? He doesn't want you to be safe.
No, like, I literally just let me in there for 1 second. That's all I need. Like, that's all I need. Like, I just, like, someone needs to shake this man or something. Like, maybe I'll be the wall yeller. I don't know. But, like, what? He literally, into your face, said, don't do what the HOH wants this. You don't want to win and piss the HOH off. What is wrong with you?
Why would you be nominated for her? For the HOH, unless she wants to target you.
Oh my God. He's a recruit, right? Yeah. Okay. Let me just feel better about it. He's a recruit.
Letting go and letting God. Because at this point, it don't make no damn sense. And I'm trying to make it make sense, and there are no sense. There's only coins.
Yeah.
So I think that also this episode, it had, I think, probably one of the saddest competition moments since Christmas won a foot race when she didn't. When she had a cap
crouching,
on.
Crouching Christmas hidden foot over there.
Yeah, crouching Alyssa hidden roulette wheel here, as she is the only person to play in this competition, and we have to sit through an entire double explanation of it. And her actually competing in it when it doesn't matter because she's the only one.
Yeah.
Where are the boomers that hate participation trophies? Bring them out. Bring them out. Because that's what this was.
Israel said, too, because she is really out here talking about building resume. I'm like, girl, that resume is padded. Okay. Like, it's
I
not.
I won my second comp.
Sis, like you, you might need to go back to school. I need a little bit more degrees on this resume because this job history right now, sis, is just not really get the tea. It's not like, I need to call some of these references because I don't trust it.
Yeah, this is like if you start a club in school and you're the only member and you're like, I was the president of the executive club, actually.
I was the president of the president club.
Yeah.
It's like, all right, girl.
How many people? Don't worry about it. It's anonymous.
Yeah.
No one needs to know.
Very high quality members of this group. Yeah, we kept it small but exclusive, you know. Just to keep it it was a good club. Yeah. It's I couldn't believe we had to actually watch this whole thing.
You know, somebody in the chat said at least she's trying, and yeah, like, you know, I'm making fun of her, but I think, you know, for all intents and purposes, like, I mean, she did lose her number one a couple weeks ago, and she's still afloat, and she, you know, she's clearly on the outs and probably going to be going home, if not next week, then the week afterwards. But, you know, she's still out there kicking and fighting and doing what she can. Like Taryn said before, with all the information that she has, she's doing what she can.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
I won't knock that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's she's running her own race here. Everyone else is at the
on
real
the bench.
Field, and
yeah.
they gave her the little field by the side of the road, and they were like, no, this is the real one. I promise. Just run. Oh, you're so fast, Alyssa.
You're doing amazing, sweetie. Oh my god.
Go ahead, give us nothing. I'm just kidding.
Oh man. So we get to this moment. Derek chooses not to play. I think we've ranted enough about this at this point. Interesting choice this time. Last time they showed the scores of everybody that played. This time, apparently, they chose not to do that. I don't know why.
I think to save themselves some embarrassment because nobody else played.
Well, was it because only one person played that they just made the assumption that they weren't going to tell anybody else, say whatever any other scores were, or was this intentional? And if anybody else had played it still, they still wouldn't have known. You know, because it's just weird to me that it changed from the first week to the second week.
So what was the first week? Oh, because of the veto.
They listed everybody that played, except for Tiffany, who got no score. Which was also a weird choice. Like, it feels like they're playing real fast and loose with these. Who are they going to say?
Yeah, it's and then, well, I don't want to be. Well, I was about to spoil. Never mind. Let me stop talking.
All right. Well, the roulette ball lands on Xavier. Xavier ends up on the block. Alyssa's upset about it. We did talk on that, but we're going to end this episode on Sarah Beth, who's doing her little dance, and she says, sorry, America, I'm sending your boy home.
And you're next, baby.
You the clown. Oh my god, I just can't. That's what I'm saying. I will pay money for Esri to find out about Kai. I think she'll be devastated.
Row, row, row your boat gently to the block. Evict the only people you should work with and lower all your stocks.
Wow.
All right.
Oh, God.
Anything else from this episode that we should talk about?
Do we?
No.
Yeah. I don't know if it's like for spoiler about production.
Well, yes. Okay. Yeah. So there was some talk on the feeds that when Derek was saying that he was not going to compete, production was basically like, wait, you're saying that you don't feel safe, but you don't want to compete. Why is that? They kept like prodding him to explain himself further. I do think that from my perspective, at least based on what he said, it makes sense in the context of the episode that basically because of the position that he's in, where Cerebeth is targeting him and he's choosing not to play, they do need more from him than just, nah, not going to play. I'm going to save my money. Like they wanted him to be like, this is why I'm not playing, even though this and that, I'm going to have to do this. Like they needed a bigger moment for that. So it makes sense to me why they would keep prodding him for more explanation, more so than they're like, are you really sure you don't want to play Derek X? Because I'm pretty sure you might need to. I mean, I'm not saying anything, but so, you know, this to me is very typical. Like, and this is, you know, when the audience talks about like production interference, this could be classified as that. I mean, a savvy enough player would recognize in the moment. They're exactly. really asking me a lot
he
about this.
Yeah. Laughed about it. And yeah. And I will say, usually don't they like cut off if they're talking about production? Like I feel like feeds like go somewhere else or
no,
we don't hear
production
it.
Production wanted us Thank to know you. That we tried.
Production
to
was like, I wanted you to know it was me. I wanted you to know. Like to me, it was that moment because I couldn't stop laughing. Like this clip is hilarious. I feel like people really should like look at it because Derek is just like laughing. And I was like, hello, and you should be laughing at yourself.
Yeah, it's the same thing, though, like during the Brent eviction week, like they were absolutely asking, not that they were trying to save Brent, but they were asking him constantly, I'm sure, in the diary room, how safe do you feel? Do you think mm-hmm. you're like locked in? Would you say that you are 100% confident that you're safe? Like, mm-hmm. If you are a savvy enough player, you can read into what are they looking for these questions because mm-hmm. of the potential episode. And, you know, again, you can sometimes read into that, although sometimes that's a losing battle as well because it mm-hmm. doesn't always mean anything. But yeah, that is the kind of interference. Again, I don't think it's intentional. Like, I don't think they were trying to save Brent in the same way that like, I don't think they were actively trying to warn Derek X, but they definitely wanted more of a moment there from him.
Yeah, I think and it's so strange to me because the way that he described it, he was like, yeah, they kept asking me. I'm just sitting there like, oh, I'm like, that should, there it is. That should, oh, like, I don't, okay. All right.
Yeah, it's You like, I feel like I am the cartoon that like blows the head, you know, like the head just like goes crazy, like the anger in Inside Out, like that to me right now. So.
All right. Well, we do have the results from the re-poll here for are you happy with the HOH results? We asked on RHAP Grams on Instagram and here are the results. Last week on Thursday, it was 59% no. Oh, <damn. laughs> This week, 92% no. Damn. We are not happy.
No, I'm not okay with that,
said the audience.
Wow, the approval rating of it all has diminished severely.
Like, but you talked about. Tenure. She wants to be a villain, right? I think you and Liana talked about this too, but lean into it, boo-boo, because you are. Okay, you sent allegedly our boy home. We like Tiffany too, though, and we like X and Kylan too. Guess what? We diversify here.
I just cannot wait for the jury segments at this point. I just can't wait for them all to roll in there and to get a chance to sit down and talk about all the stuff that's been going on because it's. I have a feeling that this is going to be a very interesting and entertaining jury session this season.
Oh yes.
All right, are you guys ready for spoilers?
Let's do it.
Okay, well, if you're gonna bounce out now, thank you for joining us. You can of course find me on Twitch, twitch.tv/Taryn Armstrong. Make sure you check out the live feed update tomorrow. Even if you're bouncing out for this, you're probably not going to, but you should. Missing out. Rob is also going to be live for the patrons tomorrow with the slop. So check out all of the upcoming Big Brother coverage.
For nearly four decades, JMK Security Solutions has provided protection for homes and businesses. I know firsthand. I'm Jeff Beckman, and with my wife, Kim, we started JMK Security Solutions. Our attention to detail, service after the sale, and product knowledge are the foundation of our success. JMK Security has routinely been recognized as the best of Madison for security companies. We expect that trend to continue as the next generation, our son Jeffrey, takes over as president. Let us protect what is valuable to you. JKSecurity.com. For nearly four decades, JMK Security Solutions has provided protection for homes and businesses. I know firsthand. I'm Jeff Beckman, and with my wife, Kim, we started JMK Security Solutions. Our attention to detail, service after the sale, and product knowledge are the foundation of our success. JMK Security has routinely been recognized as the best of Madison for security companies. We expect that trend to continue as the next generation, our son Jeffrey, takes over as president. Let us protect what is valuable to you. JKSecurity.com.
Let's get into some spoilers.
The Office of Civil Defense has issued the following message. This is
a spoiler.
Warning.
A spoiler.
Warning means that an actual
spoiler
against this country has been detected and that protective action should be taken.
Boom! Spoilers! We're here!
Woo!
Oh, we're always so excited about spoilers. What's coming from the spoilers? Let's do it. Let's talk spoilers. What happened, Amon? Did Derek X get... So Xavier and Claire are on the block.
Yeah.
It's all coming down to the veto. Did Derek X win the veto?
No. Derek X did not win the veto.
No, he lost the veto? How did he lose? He's so good.
Derek X wasn't chosen for the veto.
Yeah.
No!
Is that possible? Is that allowed?
The BB gods were not on his side this time around. Tyler Crispin, he is not. Okay?
No.
It just didn't happen. This is the absolute worst thing that could have happened, considering that he chose not to play in that damn roulette comp. Like, then you don't even get a chance to save yourself. Like, this, that should have just been, bless his heart, because he's just so good-natured that I don't even feel like he feels defeated. I feel like he's just there and just, like, happy to be there. You know what? I can't care more than you, all right?
Oh, yes, Amon. As we say, just bless his heart, right? Like, I truly am at a loss of words for this man. Just give him a hug and bless his heart and pat his back on the way out. Because what the hell, man?
Yeah. And the thing is, too, like, I agree with Kyland. If Derek had played in that roulette competition, I think he would have beaten Alyssa. It didn't seem like she did that well. He literally only needed to be one person. You spend $125, you have to beat one person, and maybe there are other opportunities to win some money, and maybe you could have played in both, because guess what? There was another opportunity to win money in this veto competition. And maybe with a different set of nominees, he would have been playing in this veto competition. He would have had the chance to win that money because he wouldn't have needed the veto. And he could have gone for that extra money, and he still could have gone for the Coin of Destiny next week. Guaranteed shot to be in the game next week and to compete in the following HOH. And instead, he has to rely on getting chosen to play and then winning the power of veto. He didn't get chosen to play. Tiffany did not get chosen to play. Hannah did not get chosen to play. He was dead from the second they made the veto draw, because everyone playing was going to use the veto and there was nothing that he could do to stop it. And not only that, but he didn't even talk to Claire and be like, I'll use it on you. Pick me if you get House Good Choice in the veto, even though he knew he was an option because Hannah and Tiffany were like, you need to win this thing. And if he had one, he wouldn't have used it on Claire because he would have been worried that Hannah would go up. Hannah, his loyal ally.
Who's like, oh, Derek, don't play in the roulette. You shouldn't play.
Yeah, let me play. I'll play for you.
Yeah.
That's fine.
Yeah, what, you want him to give you his money? He probably would have. If that was an option, he would have given his money away. Oh, no. He's so...
At this point, I just hope that Derek X's parents don't actually watch the show, because maybe there was a chance that he can come back home and convince him to let him come. Because, like, if his parents are seeing just how many times he had the opportunity to save himself and then didn't take it, like, no, you can't come home. You better use that stipend. Find a nice apartment nearby. You know, we'll send you some food if you need it, but you can't come home. Sorry. The 750K is not yours. You didn't win, so it's over.
Yeah, somewhere on a beach in Hawaii, Travis laying in his beach chair on his phone looking at the episode. He's not actually watching the episode. He's just reading about what's happening. And he's like, all right, you know what? Yeah, you know that interview I set up for Derek X after he comes off the show? Yeah, you go ahead and cancel that. Yeah,
it's, cancel? You might as well roll out a little hammock for him somewhere. I mean,
you know what, you guys? Derek X is going to get all the Instagram influence. He's going to be fat on Fashion Nova Men. He'll, you know, be asked to be on the challenge. You don't know. You know what? Derek X is going to get his coin somehow.
That's true. He definitely is one of the people that's probably the most likely to be called back for something. So that's true. Maybe he'll win $750,000 over the course of the next 5 years on reality television.
I hope he never goes on the challenge, because I saw a lot of people talking about him going on the challenge. He will get eaten alive. Okay. Like this man.
Like big people on that show, man.
No, not even. They will like run him around in circles and get in his head, and he'll self like evict or whatever. Like, please don't send that man on the challenge, please.
All right. So the winner of the veto, of course, is actually going to be Xavier, who actually had to take some punishments to obtain this veto. One of which is that he had to give up all of his BB bucks. So Xavier is now BB broke, and cannot afford the coin of destiny next week. He also has to go into solitary confinement in the, day leading up to the eviction. And he also is going to have to be a third nominee next week, as long as he doesn't win HOH. So if he does win HOH, I believe how it works is that the third nominee punishment will be pushed back the week after, until the week after that he is not HOH. He will be the third nominee either next week or next the week after, depending on if he wins that HOH or not. And so this was an interesting call from Xavier. Again, I'm interested to see the episode here. He didn't really need to win this veto. He might not have even needed to pick that punishment to win the veto. And even if he hadn't won the veto, he probably would have been taken off the block anyway. And now he has committed himself to be on the block in the coming weeks, where, you know, it's going to be a little riskier. So I don't love this from Xavier. It'll probably be fine, but does not seem super necessary to me.
I gotta say, it's a little fishy from production. Like, now look, like, I don't like to be that big of a conspiracy theorist, and we knew from the get-go. I mean, Julie Chen said it over and over and over again. This season is about risk-reward. Oh my god, like, so the fact that he had to, like, choose a punishment isn't necessarily something new, but these punishments are very severe for a veto comp. Like, I could understand if this was, like, maybe an HOH or some kind of special power. But for a veto comp, like, 24 hours in solitary, you have to be a third nominee. The third nominee is really weird to me because...
Yeah.
Then, you know, I mean, the cookout is making up over half the house at this point. If Xavier's already on the block, the likelihood of somebody else in the cookout also being on the block is still there. And so that just kind of depletes the voting power of the cookout, even though they still have the majority. It just feels a little... What's going on?
The third nominee thing is so dumb. It's just as dumb as the other powers, because I don't know what it will take to convince the producers that third nominees are terrible, but third nominees make it easier for the majority to maintain their majority, because the only way to swipe at the majority is to get only majority members on the block. So if there's a third nominee, that makes it so much more difficult to actually take a shot at them. And let's say Derek X had been chosen to play in this veto and needed to win it to save himself. He probably needs to take that third nominee thing. So you're all but guaranteeing that he is screwed next week or whichever week that he ends up as the third nominee. Like, what are you thinking? Either you screw over the person that needed this, who's outside of the majority, or you're just helping the majority and just minorly inconveniencing them.
Year after year, it's the same Tarrant rant.
Yes.
Year after year. Here we are. It's that time. It's that time.
The only time that the third nominee truly brought me joy was when all of the casuals effed up the voting process back in BB15 and put Alyssa's ass on the block. That was the only time that I was like, all the other times it has been very, very par the course. Okay. So like,
yeah. Oh, man.
I don't get it.
My God.
So that's where we are. Xavier should be taking himself off the block, and Derek X will be the replacement nominee, and Derek X will be going home this week. Tiffany and Hannah have been trying to mount some kind of resistance to this, but they have not found a lot of success. There's just, if Derek X leaves this week, it basically guarantees that Big D, or perhaps Hannah, but likely Big D, will have the Coin of Destiny power next week, which means that even if Claire or Alyssa wins the HOH next week, Big D can override their nominations with the Coin of Destiny as long as he gets it right. If Derek X is still in the house, then not only is he a bigger threat in the competition, but he also will have the Coin of Destiny, likely. Something else to mention is that Big D did win some extra BB bucks in this veto competition. And I believe, I think it was at least 50. So he will be able to afford the Coin of Destiny no matter what he gets next week, I believe.
I tweeted this earlier. I just find that it's so hilarious that literally Big D has been on the big day bed for like the entirety of the season. And now his first HOH is essentially bought and paid for. Like, I just feel like this is so grimy. Like, I'm not knocking it because Big Brother has never been fair. It never has been. But I'm just like, why are we giving out HOHs with payola? I just don't understand. And why is it going to Big D? But you know what? I'm just going to let it rock. It is what it is.
Do you think that's why they're giving him so much, like, screen time? Because he's about to be the next, allegedly, about to be the next HOH.
Well, I think they're giving him screen time because they're like, okay, we screwed up. We really screwed up because Brittany was a fan favorite. She left. Now Derek X is a fan favorite. He's leaving. Claire was just a fan. Oh, she's screwed too. Big D's all we got, guys. I mean, he's the only one that's going to be here for a while. We really need to go all in on Big D.
Oh my God. I have to know how people are voting for me. Like, this is like a true sociology experiment that I feel like maybe I'll dive into Facebook to look at, because what a ship to, you know, put your anchor on, production. Like, what a person to do
so. And let me tell you, I think he absolutely will get $100 next week, even if he doesn't need it. And here's why I think it will be cemented. And I think that production will really lean into this. Sarah Beth, who we've barely talked about in this recap, but I mean, this move, terrible from pretty much every angle. She believes that even though she put Big D up on the block, that by guaranteeing him the fact that he'll get this Coin of Destiny, that he will protect her with the Coin of Destiny. Big D can't stand Sarah Beth absolutely will take her out of the game with the power that she guaranteed he would have. And so if we get Big D on Thursday night talking about like, oh man, can't wait to go after Sarah Beth. I'm coming for her, like Frenchie came for Travis. And the audience is like, yes, Big D will get revenge for us. They're going to be like, give Big D the power. And then we'll watch Big D as he takes out Sarah Beth next week.
Yay. At least.
Unless production interferes and they talk to DF in the DR, and they're like, are you sure you don't want to nominate Tiffany? Do you feel safe with Tiffany? How do you feel about Tiffany? So, Tiffany, tell us more. Elaborate. Extrapolate, please. Tiffany, 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 Tiffany.
It's fine. Then there will be Tiffany, Sarah Beth, and X. And Sarah Beth's still going to go. okay.
Yep. You know, somebody did mention in the chat, you know, maybe his dad still has sway, Big D's dad being Smokey Joe Frazier. And, you know, maybe. I mean, you know, Big Brother does have a large portion of the fan base that is older. And so maybe, you know, he barely talks about it on the show. I feel like he talks about it once and then that was it.
Yeah.
But, you know, maybe there are a bunch of wrestling fans out or boxing. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Boxing fans out there that, you know, are like, yeah, let me, you know, give it to the heir of a Mr. Frazier.
My thing is that if Ariana Grande can't swing an America's favorite vote, then I don't know if Joe Frazier.
Well, I mean, it probably would have been a lot better if her brother was not doing everything in his power to make himself the most unlikable person on the cast.
I mean, did you watch the Thursday night episode before he got that first vote? Because I feel like he was also doing a lot.
Yeah.
Using the B word left and right, calling everybody out of their name. And now production was like, oh, let's use that to our advantage and flip it on Tiffany.
it's mind-boggling. It really is.
God. People, don't fall for this. Don't. Like, we are better than this. We're smarter than this.
Okay. Anything else to talk about before we wrap this up here for the night, for this Sunday night of Big Brother 23?
That's it for me. I'm very, very... like excited to see where the rest of this goes. And I really do hope that the cookout does make us to the final six. I know that it is frustrating for a lot of people. I know that people want to see power shifts, but I think that my mind has really shifted on this because of what Xavier talked about in the feeds the other day, where he was, we already made history by making it all the way to jury. I feel like we should just continue to make history and make it to this final six and really make a stand and really make a statement to have all Black people in that house at the end. Like, and I want that for my spirit now too. And so I'm really rooting for them. They still got a little ways to go. Things could still go awry, you know? I mean, Clara's still there. Alyssa is still there. Something could happen. You never know. But at this point in time, it's looking like it's really attainable. And that's something that I would really like to see.
Mm. We could take a couple of questions. If people have some questions in the chat, feel free to ask and we can maybe get to a couple of them. But Sasha, anything else that you wanted to bring up?
Yeah, I also, you know, just I'm so excited for this season. And I think it's amazing the cast we were given, even, you know, like the white folks in what, like Christian is the white person I have been asking, right, to get put on this show. And it's, I'm like talking about DX. I want him to stay, but at the end of the day, like I want the cookout to make it. Like it's not only because it's obviously it's time one. And then secondly, it's also, they have been doing so well. Like imagine next week, yeah. Even if they lose HOH one, like they still might not be going home more than likely. Right. Let me not jinx anything. Knock on wood. And I just want folks to like take a breath and like understand how well they're doing, because in years past, it's only because of these strong alliances are winning. Everything is because their members haven't been going out except.
Yeah.
That look at how great they've been doing. So I just want to say, like, I've been saying all this, but like, it really has been monumental. And it's just about time we have a Black winner on regular Big Brother. Like, you know, and hopefully next year, the 50% actually has all kinds of people of color. And, you know, we have more like DX isn't the only, you know, Asian man, and Chadda, like Hannah Chadda doesn't have to be the only, you know, like representation for South Asian. Like we, you know, where are we at? Like, I know we're a part. Mm-hmm. So that's all I have to say. All right.
Mm-hmm. I feel you, sis.
Yes, I did get a question about Hannah from Cassidy. Did Hannah lie to the house guests about playing the roulette? Yes, Hannah did lie and claim that she played in the roulette. I do believe that that a couple of people in the cookout know that she did not. But I'm not 100% on that. But she did pretend to Derek. She was like, I lost by a couple points. Oh, yeah. Man, just missed it.
All right, Hannah.
Let's see. We also, I think way up there from Stephanie was asking, who is the person most likely to put up two members of the cookout on the block? Aman, what are your thoughts on that?
Is this before or after Kylan speaks to them into the ground? Like, that's the real question here.
Oh, God.
I would say by virtue of the cookout making up, like, all the people that you can potentially even vote or put up on the block at this point, I think any of them. You know, I think Claire, definitely, and Alyssa. Like, I mean, there's, who else you going to put up? I mean, Alyssa could put up Sarah Beth. That's true. Sarah Beth is on her radar. But I don't know. There's still a world in which she's like, maybe I want to backdoor Sarah Beth. Maybe I would just want to go ahead and put, you know, Azza and whoever and Big D back up on the block or something like that. So we'll see.
Well, her bestie is the third nominee. So she's going to be like, who do you want to sit? Who do you think you will win, yeah, you know, or true. Stay yeah. against? See, cook again. Yeah. And then it's going to be whatever X probably says.
All right. Yeah, well, never mind. Ain't nobody doing it.
That's the thing, too. That's the thing about the position, the strength of what Kylan did here. Sarah Beth taking the shot means that it makes it even more likely that if Claire or Alyssa, like Alyssa's not going to probably touch Sarah Beth, but Alyssa probably winning would be actually maybe even worse than Claire at this point, considering Claire would probably take the shot back at Sarah Beth for taking this shot. And then again, even if they did take a shot, you do still have Coin of Destiny. A tricky one. Here's a question from Batman. Batman asks, how will Tiffany be remembered if she loses the game? If she loses this game, Aman, what do you
think? I mean, if production has anything to do with it, not very fondly. I think she'll definitely be one of the greats. I think that she'll be one of the greats to never win. I think people will be talking about all of the work that she put in for the cookout, some of it to the detriment of her own personal game. But I definitely think that she'll be in that conversation. I think that maybe the casuals won't necessarily have that love for her, but I think with time, as the season, you know, goes further back, you know, away from time, I think maybe there's a shot that she's up there with like the Vanessa Russos and I really have been comparing like Tiffany's game really to like a calmer, more collected Vanessa Russo, because Vanessa was up there plugging holes and lying and plotting and crying all over the place. And Tiffany does a lot of that, but she's not as emotional as Vanessa Russo was. So I think she'll definitely be one of the greats.
Yeah, I think for me, it's if she loses, I think that I would probably look at it like I think that she had the potential, right, to be, because I genuinely think, and I know that not everybody agrees here, and ultimately the problem is we're never really probably going to find out. But I think that if Tiffany had played, you know, the game that she wanted to play, her own personal game, I think that she could have been a contender for like GOAT tier, in the top tier of the winners. She though, ultimately, you know, there was something that was more important, and she's going in a different direction. And if she loses, I think that I would look at her at like, what could have been, and we'll never really know if it would have been. But she's still, I think, to me, up there in terms of probably, and you know, maybe she completely botches it and screws up and makes us feel like, okay, maybe.
But then you always have to ask that question as about whether or not, like, does that count a little bit more for her game, that she is choosing this larger cause and purpose and purposefully putting her game in the back burner, and that's a bit of a crutch for her, but she's still doing very well at this point in time. Like, does that count for anything in this game? Like, does that, you know, is playing with a crutch even more of an impressive, you know, feat?
Yeah, a little bit like a self-imposed Eric Stein almost. Like,
yeah, honestly.
I think there's definitely a lot of interesting conversation to be had postseason when it comes to Tiffany's game. And even if she wins, then I think there's a lot of credit to be made that she took a harder path and still managed to pull it out. But you'd also, I think, probably dock her some points for intentionally taking the harder path when she didn't need to. But, you know, again, it's I think lots of interesting discussion can be had here about Tiffany and you know, whoever else ends up winning this season, whether it's Xavier or Kylan or anybody else in the cookout. All right. I believe that is what we have for you here tonight. Thank you so much for joining us here. Let's do some plugs. Guess what I've got? I've got these. Look at that.
Ooh.
The visuals for my plugs here. Look at this. Tomorrow at 11 a.m. Eastern, I will be live with myself to talk about everything that happened today on the Big Brother 23 live feeds. That should be an experience. So make sure you tune in tomorrow morning. Tomorrow we are also getting the slop from Rob for the patrons of Rob as a podcast. Rob goes over everything sloppy in Big Brother 23 this week. I believe Maggie Morgan will be joining Rob for the slop, so check that out tomorrow if you are a patron. And then Tuesday nights I will be joined by Melissa and Chantel for the Stockwatch Roundtable. And this is going to be a good one. I'm getting ready to knock those stocks off their stock perches.
Oh, my gosh.
People are going down, folks. It's not going to be pretty.
The violent-ass Stockwatch. God damn.
I know. Save your coins, people.
We are also going to get, of course, on Wednesday, Rob will be joined by Melissa, Kirsten, and Asia to talk about the Wednesday night episode. We'll see that veto competition, and they'll talk about everything that goes on there. And then we have the fifth best season of Survivor. It's Survivor China. Great season of Survivor. Love that season. Rob's going to be joined by Kirsten and Brian Scally as they talk about the fifth best season of Survivor, China. We also have Rob and Akiva Need a Podcast. It's Keeves Peeves, episode 143. And Sasha will be joining. Sasha, what are Keeves Peeves? Explain this to me.
Yeah, so we did a rank. Well, it started with a bracket. And as, you know, Renap, Rob decided, actually, that's wrong. And we decided to do like a, you know, which one, like knockoff or whatever style. And it's all of listener submitted pet peeves. So listen to it and just hear us, I think, talk about our own pet peeves. We created our own off of yours. It's a hot mess and so fun. So please listen.
All right. So check that out. Then we've got RuPaul's Drag Race All-Stars 6 episode 10 recap with Liana, Beth, and Amon. What's going on here, Amon?
Yes, this was the famous game within a game reveal episode where we finally got to figure out what the hell RuPaul was talking about. And let me just tell you guys, a certain queen has really redeemed herself in the eyes of Drag Race fans. And it's just been it was a really good episode for her. And so definitely check that out if you have not.
All right. Then we have some Love and Hip Hop Atlanta. Sasha again bringing it to us with Asia.
Yes, this is a new podcast. This is only episode 4, I believe. I've had Bryce on for episode 1. Chappelle was on, and then Mari, and now Asia. We just talk about fun. We talk about Love and Hip Hop, which is my favorite reality show. So if you love mess, if you love gossip, please listen to it. You really don't like need to know the show that well. I have disgusting knowledge about the show, so I usually end up remembering everything. So watch us for mess, please.
For the mess. All right. And then we have here another Sasha podcast.
Oh,
it's the Netflix reality games with Geneva. What is this Netflix reality games? I feel like I've seen it, but I don't know what it is.
Yeah, it was on YouTube. So Love is Blind, The Circle, and what is it? Too Hot to Handle. So they all come together. And if anyone has watched Disney Channel like games, it's literally that.
Yeah.
So where they all like come together, play these like silly, fun games, like their backyard games.
Not Netflix trying to create like an extended universe.
Yes.
Like, it's not this. What is this?
I see Joey from the Circle. Yeah. Okay. All right.
Yeah. So it's like I just like loved the circle team. They were giving us everything we needed. So it's silly. I think there's three episodes on YouTube and they're all like 11 minutes long. It's very like silly and fun. I hope they do more of it. Like, I want to see all my like reality people on.
There you go.
Let me start auditioning for one of these Netflix shows and get a check.
So, fun fact, Aman, this is actually was like an extended commercial for exactly what you just said to get people to come on and audition for the shows. There's links in the.
Well, it works.
So it works. You got me. There you go.
All right.
Does no one do Indian matchmaking? I will fight you.
Okay, well, of course, if you are not a patron already of Rob is a podcast, what are you doing? Be a patron. You know, it's Rob puts together a great show. He's a great guy, and he deserves your support. That's how I feel about it. So become a patron. There are exclusive patron shows if you do. There's The Slop, where he gets all sloppy. You know, never know. What is Rob going to get? Slimed with slop? I don't know. You can't find out until you're a patron. There's the Big Brother Q&A call-in show. That's where you can call in and chat with Rob and myself, ask us questions, and we discuss all kinds of things. Very fun. We got Survivor Rankings feedback shows if you can't get enough of the Survivor Rankings podcast. And of course, the 5 for 5 with the great Nicole Cesternino, which you should not miss because Nicole is wonderful. So become a patron. Make it happen. We've got some special offers from RHAP. robiswebsite.com/offers if you want to check out some sponsors and check out some exclusive offers that Rob is a podcast has for you. And of course, make sure you hit the subscribe button here on YouTube or follow along on Twitch or wherever you're watching. And hit the bell to get some notifications. And, you know, go to, yeah, all these social media places like RHAP Grams on Instagram or Rob is the podcast. We have a TikTok account. What are we doing on TikTok? I don't know. Go find out. Make it. I need to go find out. Make me a TikTok account. We got to make this happen. All right. We can't not know things. Find us on Facebook. Find us on Twitter. Make it all happen. You can find me on Twitch, twitch.tv/Taryn Armstrong. Of course, also on Twitter at Armstrong Taryn. Sasha, where can people find you?
You can find me on Twitter at funsize_04. And you can find me on Silent Podcasts on Apple Podcasts and Spotify and YouTube, where I talk with Chappelle actually every week about the Netflix show Never Have I Ever and Survivor South Africa.
All right. And I'm on.
You can find me everywhere at Amon Adwin. Also, check out the Purple Pants podcast this week. I finally got a chance to stop back with Bryce again for more tea spillage. We talk about lots of pop culture. Nicki Minaj. We talk about a lot of stuff. So make sure you check that out. I think he's releasing it on Tuesday.
There we go. We did it, guys. We didn't burn anything down. We didn't make a mess. I think Rob, he's going to come back and he's going to be like, okay, you did all right. All right. He's going to give me a little pat on the head and I'm going to be like, yeah, thank you.
He was a very good babysitter. Have him return.
We might've gotten complaints from the neighbors about the noise though. I think I was yelling a lot.
Screw them neighbors.
They can, call Derek X. Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah.
They won't say it to my face.
Blame the Big Brother producers for this twist. All right. Thank you guys so much for joining us here tonight. I will see all of you tomorrow morning for the update. Have a good one.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+. Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino.
That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.